streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. FBI agents who worked on the investigations into President Trump are fearing for their jobs and their safety. More from CBS's Scott McFarlane.
They were part, under orders, of the investigation into January 6th, and that has metastasized into some form of a search for retribution that's going to fall on their shoulders.
A judge has blocked Trump's proposed buyout offer for federal employees. Jackie Simon with the American Federation of Government Employees is urging caution.
It's a very, very bad deal.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. FBI agents who worked on the January 6th investigation into Donald Trump are fearing retribution. CBS's Scott McFarlane spoke exclusively with an agent we are not identifying because he fears for his safety. Scott asked him what it was like to fill out the questionnaire about which cases he worked on.
Really demoralizing. Defeated. We all feel defeated. And really for nothing. We don't feel like anyone has our backs.
More of the interview with that agent will air tonight on the CBS Evening News. A judge has temporarily blocked President Trump's proposed buyout offer for federal workers until at least Monday. Jackie Simon with the American Federation of Government Employees has this advice for the union's members.
Think once, think twice. Talk to an attorney, a personal attorney if they have one. Take a deep breath and think hard before they decide to sign the agreement.
Democratic attorneys general from a dozen states plan to sue to limit Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency's access to federal payment systems.
In a statement, they say they're taking action in defense of the Constitution, people's right to privacy, and essential funding that individuals and communities are counting on. Stacey Lynn, CBS News, Washington.
A federal judge in Seattle has blocked Trump's order banning birthright citizenship. Democratic attorneys general, including Washington State's Nick Brown, had also sued over that.
We do not have a king. We have a president who must abide by the laws. And if they want to amend the Constitution, there is a process by which to do that.
CBS News has learned Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem will visit Guantanamo Bay tomorrow. She wants to get an update on the conversion of the naval base into a detention center for thousands of undocumented migrants. With eggs in short supply due to bird flu, some customers are now hoarding eggs.
Thank you for shopping at Costco.
Like many grocery stores, Costco has been selling out of eggs on a daily basis.
All the egg substitutes were gone. Everything was gone at 10 o'clock.
That's why Mike Hahn arrived right when the store opened to get his eggs. Some customers have been buying hundreds of eggs at a time.
Not fair to the people who can't be here because they're working at 9 a.m. in the morning.
This store is now limiting shoppers to 3 cartons per person.
13.49.
Costco employee says some customers who bought too many eggs have been returning them past their expiration date. Matt Bigler for CBS News, Foster City, California.
A judge has just sentenced Los Angeles Dodgers star Shohei Ohtani's former interpreter to nearly 5 years in prison. Ippei Muzihara admitted to stealing millions of dollars from Ohtani to pay off his betting losses. He also will have to pay $18 million in restitution to Ohtani and to the IRS. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
CBS News Brief. FBI agents who worked on the investigations into President Trump are fearing for their jobs and their safety. More from CBS's Scott McFarlane.
They were part, under orders, of the investigation into January 6th, and that has metastasized into some form of a search for retribution that's going to fall on their shoulders.
A judge has blocked Trump's proposed buyout offer for federal employees. Jackie Simon with the American Federation of Government Employees is urging caution.
It's a very, very bad deal for the employee under certain circumstances. It absolves the government from any liability for anything forever.
The deadline to apply is now Monday. Hundreds of USAID workers are being ordered home from abroad. CBS's Alexander Tin says many of them are about to be unemployed.
Less than 300 workers out of some 14,000 staff at USAID will be kept on the job in just the latest move by the Trump administration to effectively shutter much of the agency.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight with the wind dying down, cold though, low near 5 above. Increasing clouds for tomorrow, a high in the low 20s. Then a winter storm watch for several inches of snow late Friday night into Saturday. Highs in the low 20s. Currently it's 19 degrees.
on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield. This is the Greg Gard Show, brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Badgers, Matt LePay.
Welcome into the Greg Gard Show as the Wisconsin Badgers, fresh off their win Tuesday night against Indiana, gets up for a bus ride down to Iowa City, a noon tip Saturday against the Hawkeyes on tonight's show. We'll check in with Sharif Chambliss as well as Brian Butch, who will rejoin us on the broadcast on Saturday. But as always, we begin with the head coach of the Badgers. Boy, you guys talk about good starts. The last couple home games, you get up 19-2, just like you draw it up
exactly.
Every game.
Exactly. Home rims are much bigger on that end of the court. I don't know what it is. It's been fun. This group has been, taking a very mature approach, but yet a lighthearted approach at time. Play loose and play hard and have fun with it.
I was going to say, you didn't even need the rims. You guys are getting nothing but nets in some of those early shots. Big Stevie obviously gets you started. Nolan Winter. We talk about the shot making, but after the game, when we asked you what pleased you the most, you went right to the other end of the floor, didn't you?
Yeah, defensively, I thought we were really good. And obviously, I get an up close view there in the first half when it's going on right in front of me. So I can really tell our positioning and watch that and how active we were. And I thought we made it really hard for them to try to accomplish what they wanted, which was obviously go to Balo and Renault in the post. And we did a good job of staying with Goody and with Mabako too. So all in all, obviously I thought a pretty complete effort, and the film showed it too. There wasn't, the less I have to clip out, even though I clip good and along with things we have to get better at, the shorter the film sessions are, usually the better we play. And our goal board lit up green, other than not making more free throws than they attempted. I believe that was the only thing that was in the red line, which they made. Yeah,
it's close.
Yeah, we made 12.
Yeah, 12. They attempted 15.
So yeah, we were minus 3 there. So that was the only thing where we didn't, the only box we didn't check. And obviously, the score is the byproduct of checking all those boxes.
Yeah, it was a terrific performance. And a lot of times you see in college basketball, if a team jumps on the other, and it's you get up 20. It's college basketball, and those leads can shrink in a hurry. This one never did. They never got it to single digits. That's a pretty good indicator of how your guys stayed dialed in for 40 minutes.
It is, and I think it's also an indicator of our bench. They were able to, keep our foot on the gas, and the guys that gave us boost off. I thought Xavier Amos, going through the film again last night and today, that he did some really good things on the offensive end and played off 2 feet in the first half, got to the free throw line. Made some strong moves in the second half. And, like I said, the bench is how you can sustain those leads, because it's hard for your first five to, keep the pedal to the metal, so to speak, for that long.
I'm going to ask you about Gilly James here in a minute, but you mentioned Xavier. Talking to a couple people, we were all wondering out loud, like, who could be that guy? Who could have that Rob Wilson-ish kind of game where all of a sudden, boom, and X's name tends to come up because of his athleticism, his versatility. I'm not predicting someone's going to go out and score 30 like Rob did. But he's getting better.
He is, and he's getting more consistent. I think that's the biggest thing. And with him, it's just been a consistent approach all the time. This has been new for him. And I don't think he's ever been held to this type of standard and had this level of competition every day that he sees in practice. So he does have a lot of the tools. If you're going to put together a player and, hey, you want somebody 6'8", 6'9", long, can put the ball on the floor, got a good base, his legs are strong, can shoot it. He's got the physical attributes to be a really good player. Now it's a matter of really fine-tuning and polishing and getting consistency within everything he does.
It's a great point and a reminder to the rest of us that this is new for him. Now, he's in the Mid-American Conference, a good league, Northern Illinois, a lot of really good programs. But in talking to him a few weeks ago, like going into these bigger arenas where you get 15, 16, 17,000, that's a little different. The atmospheres that you get throughout the league, it's, for a lot of folks, it's old hat. For him, it isn't.
Right. And it's playing at this level where, if you're in that level, you'll see a big body or an athletic body here and there, but the consistency of the level of competition that he sees or we see at this level. And like I said, I refer back to practice because of how, he has to burn the motor pretty hot to be effective in practice, which is good. I like competition, and it's for him, it's just, like I said, the consistency, and it's typical of younger players. Even though he's a junior, he's young in terms of the time he's had his roots here in Madison. So I'm excited of where he could grow, because I don't think he quite understands how good he can be yet. We try to paint that picture for him, but he's eager and accepting to trying to walk this forward.
That's one of the fun parts, I would imagine, of your job as coaches, where somebody thinks the ceiling is at a certain level, and you guys convince them, if it's X or whoever, that no, you could be
right.
You can
absolutely
be that
much better. And I think that's the threshold you're trying to push guys through, and quite frankly, they got to push themselves through it. You lay out the plan, you give them a vision, you point out areas of positive and areas of improvement that are needed, and then they have to take the steps and do that. But yeah, that, to, like I said, for X, it's not hard to find and paint a vision where, because of all the physical talent that he has, that he can do a lot of good things down the road.
We just concluded a television taping about handling the roller coaster of a season when things get tough and when things are going really well. It could be as a team or as an individual, which obviously leads to Carter Gilmore, who had his career high game against Northwestern at 15 points in the game against Northwestern, also had 7 rebounds. And you wonder, okay, how's he going to follow that up? Well, he hits 3 threes, scores 10 points against Indiana the other night, does all the other things too. That's a sign of maturity, right? Because he's got that lovable, goofy nature to him. Teammates are having fun with him. But he stays dialed in, it looks like.
He does, you know, and we've talked many times about how, you know, he can impact the game without scoring. And now he's adding a little scoring twist to his resume, so to speak. So, yeah, I mean, he's still doing all the other good things that he did. He impacts winning without even having to move the needle offensively. And obviously his ability to knock down threes and play with that type of confidence is icing on the cake.
When he's hearing his name chanted, as you were telling him, no, we want you for the post-game interview at Northwestern, and then he's getting the MVP chance. But it's a reminder. I was telling somebody today on a radio hit, it's a reminder that, oh, yeah, this is college basketball still. As much as things are changing, you see a guy who just grinds it, is effort rewarded, and everybody's enjoying this.
Absolutely. And it's neat in the day and age we're in, where it's instant gratification and so many moving parts within college athletics, to see somebody that's persevered. And I always say, has done it the long, hard, old-fashioned way of grinding his way through, didn't get a lot of opportunity early, wasn't ready for a lot of opportunity, and has stayed persistent and stayed, you know, at it. And now he's getting the fruits of his labor.
Yep, and it's important stuff, too. I mean, you could score 15 points, and sometimes it means more than others, but in the Northwestern game, they were needed.
Absolutely, right?
And with Indiana, no lead is safe in college basketball, we know that, so it's been productive points, not just the points themselves, but when they have come, and hopefully much more to come for Gilly and the rest of his guys. They get ready for the Iowa Hawkeyes on Saturday. We'll take a break. More with Coach Gard coming up in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Save big money on Menards' great selection of automotive products. Goodyear Reveal wiper blades have an all-metal frame for added durability. Their blades feature a precision-cut wiping element to ensure your windshield is streak-free. Plus, they're easy to install using a pre-attached universal adapter that fits most vehicles. Pick up Goodyear wiper blades on sale now through February 9th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Badgers are born brave. They're not afraid to face a tough opponent or take on the impossible. At UW Health Carbone Cancer Center, our team of doctors take on cancer with that same Badger stamina. Where others step back, we step up, researching, treating, and defeating even the most complex cancers, making us the only NCI-designated comprehensive cancer center in the state. So now, from stadium to hospital, you can count on Wisconsin and UW Health to fight and win. UW Health Carbone Cancer Center. Remarkable.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Need reliable waste and recycling services? Choose LRS. Driven by service and dedicated to sustainability, we're your partner in efficient waste management. Need more? We also offer convenient dumpster rentals and clean portable restrooms for any event or project. Trust LRS for all your waste needs. Visit LRSRecycles.com to sign up for service. That's LRSRecycles.com.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here.
Reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance.
Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey, Badger fans. Basketball season is here, and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the courtside celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin basketball games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
We continue with the Greg Gard Show. In a few minutes, we'll check in with assistant coach Sharif Chambliss. Going to ask him about the dog days, something I made a mistake with Bo a long time ago. Never use those words around Bo. Dog days, huh? But Sharif talks about it. It's kind of real.
Yeah, well, you could talk to Sharif. They have a new puppy in the house, so you could change your kind of your
right,
yeah. The boys, they got a puppy for the boys for Christmas. So, yeah, you could shift the actual meaning of dog days. Ask him how the home life dog days are right now with having to train the young one.
I was going to say, not a quiet moment in the Chambliss house with the boys running around, not to mention, you know, Sharif,
who
doesn't like quiet a whole lot. Get ready for the Hawkeyes here. Just mentioned the last segment, no lead is safe, and Iowa was a pretty good example of that with its ability to score. How have they've had the one game without Owen Freeman earlier in the week. I mean, obviously, it's a huge hit. Riley Mulvey gets into the starting lineup, so you're trying to make it work. Those later season adjustments, though, you guys
get
through it.
I mean, we've had go through it in the past, and obviously, you never wish injuries for anybody, and obviously, Owen's a really good player, but, you know, just looking through that game of that, as obviously, it's only been one, and you don't know how much practice time they've had without Owen. But, you know, other really good players, Peyton Sanford and Josh Dix, really stepped up and scored. And I think as you get through that, usually you have the adjustment period and then you have to play on, you know, and other guys step into other roles and have other people step up. So maybe it changes their identity a little bit in terms of what they can do in the paint. But from the perimeter between Harding and Dix and both Sanfords, you know, there's some firepower there that can put points on the board in a hurry.
Yeah, you're right. Both Sanfords, you know, everybody, you know, fans are familiar with Peyton, but, you know, Bryce is pretty good too. He's I know that the last game you guys were, you know, raining threes on him, but they did put points on the board. The Thelwell kid, Drew Thelwell, that's been a really good addition.
Yeah, it has been, and he's brought some maturity. You know, I think there's an example of a mature transfer portal player that comes in, is not in awe of the moment, and he led him in scoring in our game here and has continued to play pretty well. So it is, you know, in playing there, they are, like everybody else, they're a different animal at home, or a different bird, I guess I should say, in the Hawkeyes, but and their ability is to score. Obviously, they can score with the best of them and can score in a hurry, whether it's off their defense and some deflections and some of the pressure stuff and zone stuff they do. And then obviously getting threes and then keeping track of specifically Peyton Sanford and Josh Dix is a handful.
We've talked a lot about the schedule in the Big Ten and the seven road onlys, the seven home onlys, just three teams are home and home. But we're starting to see, like, everybody goes through the tough stretches now. Everybody in the league has taken some bumps. It's like, you know, we're kind of half joking about the dog days, but this is real. This it gets it's always real, but especially so now, right? This thing is getting tight.
Yeah, I think you look at, you know, Michigan State goes west and comes back empty handed. So it's just who you play, when you play them, where you play them. Winning on the road is not easy. I don't care where you're at, where you go, who you're playing. It is not easy, and you just have to. That's why staying present, I think, is so important, and just one game at a time. And I get asked all the time about a game down the road or stretch of games, and I'm like, I don't even let my mind go there. I don't know, and I don't want to know who we, because we have enough on our plate with Saturday. And I think just players appreciate, and it helps us stay more consistent to really lock into the here and now. And because you have to, because again, in this league, you see it night in and night out that it doesn't matter sometimes who or where. I mean, Ohio State goes in and you think you can't win at Purdue. Ohio State goes in and wins. And yeah, I didn't know if Minnesota could go to Penn State and win. Minnesota goes to Penn State and wins. So it's just, it makes it exciting for all you media people, right?
It and does.
Our fans,
it
but
does.
It causes some restless nights for us on the coaching staff.
Yeah, Nebraska goes to the Pacific Northwest and picks off a couple games too as it snapped a losing streak. We talked about this a year or two ago. I think, you know, I used to always kind of chuckle at Bo, well, probably about a lot of things, but he would say, I never know who I'm playing after, who you're playing after the game ahead of me. Like, really? And maybe as an assistant, you had a different angle. But you get that now, right?
You do. I get it. Yeah, and I joke. I know who we play. Yeah, but I don't even think about looking. I don't look at a box score. I don't look at a roster until it's time to, okay, now my assistants, different story. They're already working ahead in Purdue and Illinois or Oregon, whoever we have after that. I really don't know who comes after that, but that's the honest truth. But for me, just like I said, dialing into our team, how we have to play to get the next one or prepare for the next one and get better in the meantime, that's plenty of food on my plate right now, and let the assistants do the advanced scouting. And then when it's time to, whether it's a quick, you know, we've had a lot of, you know, we've taken some days here, even though we didn't have a day off, we've shortened practice and not done contact stuff. So we've been able to, you know, walk through the last 2 or 3 weeks with 1 day preps, and because we needed to, knowing what was coming in the accumulation effect of the games and of the stretch of the season we were in. So just like I said, trying to stay in the here and now is the most important thing.
Best part, one of the great parts about your team, it has the ability to work when it's time and have fun when it's time. And when you can do that through this stretch of season, that's good. That's
they do. Yeah. They know how they can keep it loose, and they need to keep it loose. And I'm running out of jokes for them in film. I usually throw them a couple bad dad jokes every film session and quiz them on their knowledge. But I'm getting deep into the year. I got to find another internet site to dig some more off of.
There you go. A little project there. You don't have enough to do, so add that one to the plate. We'll take a break. When we continue, we'll check in with assistant coach Sharif Chambliss as the Greg Gard Show continues on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers. Meet Venus Robertson. The Green Bay woman shares why Black History Month is special for her.
You need to be proud of your history. For me, it just means a bunch of possibilities. Looking at the road that was laid before me, opportunities that were put out for me, things people went through to make sure that I have a chance.
Her story includes dressing up as a different person every day. It's a way to teach kids at the Boys and Girls Club about the richness of Black culture.
Tradition here, well, Black History Month, Miss Venus is going to dress up every single day. I really wanted them to see, like, you can be anything you want to be. That is my heart. I want to be a role model for the kids here.
Venus is sharing history while shaping the future. Listen for more inspiring stories all month long. I'm Terry Barr.
This is the chef of love, Chef Gennard, TV host and restaurateur.
My grandparents harvested their land to sell food and shared its overflowing bounty with our community. Grandma said, for every yam we pick, we give one away. In the world they cultivated, I love preparing and eating dinner with my family on Sundays. When our resources changed, food assistance programs sustained us. They gave me fuel to start my first culinary business at 16 years old, and inspiration to donate the extra food in my community. Through my life, I've developed an appetite to work with others to ensure everyone has access to the nutritious food we need to thrive. Together, we can help end hunger. Come on, join the movement with Feeding America by volunteering, donating, and advocating. Learn more at feedingamerica.org/act now.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ag Council.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
1000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Continuing with the Greg Gard Show as the Badgers get ready for the Saturday noon matchup against the Iowa Hawkeyes down at Carver Hawkeye Arena. In a few minutes, we'll check in with my partner Brian Butch, who was down in Evanston on the television call for the Northwestern Wildcats win against USC. He rejoins me Saturday in Iowa City. Right now, we hear from assistant coach Sharif Chambliss, one of the former Badger players on the coaching staff. Actually, he's a former Nittany Lion as well, and then transferred to Madison. Back in those days, he had to sit out a year. He was working with the scout team, then suffered a knee injury in practices going into postseason play. But he came back strong and was a huge factor in the Badgers advancing to the Elite Eight of the 2005 NCAA tournament. And he is a valuable addition to this staff. Been back here for a few years now. Brings the energy every day. Serves as kind of the DJ during pre-practice warm-ups, getting everybody bouncy and nice and loose. I asked him about the dog days. I always joke this time of year. I made a mistake with Bo Ryan in Bo's first year as the head coach here. I asked him about the dog days, and he looked at me funny. Didn't believe in them. At least that was his message to the players, and it seemed to work pretty well. But the fact is, this is a difficult time of year. These guys have been working out all summer. You go through training camp, the season. March Madness is still a little ways away. And you are still trying to stack those wins, get yourself in the best possible position in the Big Ten standings, and, of course, position yourself for postseason play. I asked Sharif about that and how you fight through it.
I would definitely call it the dog days. These are the days, you know, it's kind of dreary outside. The sun's not great. When we get in the gym, we try to get between these lines, just try to bring energy and know that we have a goal that we're trying to fight after, and our guys are pretty locked in. We had a great practice today.
Did it help being in LA for a few, like the toward the end of January, you get out into some warmer weather, and you know it's a long flight, but this is the way the league is now. Just to kind of, I don't know if break things up is the right way of putting it, but at least you could get where it's a little warmer.
I think the LA trip was good for us. I think, you know, it obviously got kind of long. It was a week long trip. And the guys weren't quite used to that. But then we come home for a game, and then we went out east, and it was beautiful out there. And we did a lot of walking, got outside, and the sun was out. There was no snow on the ground. So getting a chance to at least see some sunlight was good for the guys, so vitamin D.
You're always good. You have the music, and you know. And there are, I've mentioned some guys who just always seem like they're having a good day. If they're not, they hide it well. Those guys are, I mean, their production, obviously, but just the demeanor, that's pretty important to have, isn't it?
No question. I mean, most of the time I play music for the guys. It's going to give energy, get them moving a little bit. Some stuff they like, some stuff they maybe haven't heard. But the guys come in here, you know, hopefully usually coming out of a lift with Jim Snyder where they were listening to music. So just try to translate it onto the court where the guys are still moving, give them a little bit of energy, and start off practice with a little juice.
One thing that's come out here as we speak, John Tonjay on the Oscar Robertson list of, you know, 50 guys. There are 12 in the Big Ten. He's one of them. Very deserving, but to be in that group, I mean, a lot of guys play college basketball, and it's kind of nice to see him recognized as being one of the best, isn't it?
It's pretty cool. I mean, now we've got a lot of guys stepping up right now. I mean, the last game, Gilly James is what everybody wants to call him, as affectionately known as that within our team. Pretty cool, but I mean, Max came out of his shell a little bit. John Blackwell's been playing well. But a guy like John Tonjay, he demands presence when he has that ball. He's so strong. He's shooting it at a great rate downhill. He's still able to get to the free throw line and shooting a great percentage at the free throw line. So it's pretty special for him. I know that this is something that he's worked for and that he's earned, because every day I open that gym, he's in there putting in that extra work.
Is that something where it's obviously the way he's been scoring it here as we talk? But he went through a period where he was maybe getting more attention than he has had, certainly at this level. But he broke through that. But you mentioned his strength. We all know he can shoot it. But the fact that he could score in a variety of ways has been a huge help for him, hasn't it?
Scoring around the rim, I mean, he's just so strong. So, you know, as a defender, you want to try to get physical with him. But if he has an angle on you, he's strong enough and smart enough to try to get around you. But I think him just being so humble, you know, and being grounded in his faith, he's done a great job of just no highs, no lows, just staying even keel, and it's been a joy to coach him.
You mentioned Gilly. I talked to him. It was earlier in the season, and just, you know, this offense has been really good for him, and the confidence that you all as a staff, like, if you're open, let it fly. We could talk about technique, this, that, or the other, but is the confidence thing as much as anything with a guy being able to knock down shots?
I mean, you think about confidence. Gilly's done a great job with that. Kamari McGee, look at him early in his career. And, you know, we told him, we had meetings after the season, what do you need to work on? And you can definitely tell he's put in that extra work shooting it from beyond the arc.
And the thing, too, about him that I need to talk about more and recognize, his assist to turnover ratio, it's better than 3-1, and coming into the year it looked a lot different. I mean, I would think there's a ton of pride.
If Kamari's not one of the most improved players here in the Big Ten, he should definitely be up for Sixth Man of the Year, one or the two. He's done a great job with being a leader of this team, being one of the captains of this team, while even not starting. But the guys listen to him. They'll probably be talking here in the huddle here in a second. But our guys have responded, and our guys have done a great job just banding together, and our team unity right now is at a really good high level.
Yeah, I'd say the team unity, which is probably, I don't know if tricky is the right word, but certainly in this era we're in now with the transfer portal and all of that, this group seemed to, on the outside looking in, seemed to come together and clicked on and off the floor pretty early.
I believe this team really, really enjoys being around each other, on, off the court. I call one after a game or on an off day, and they're usually with somebody else, which is pretty cool. Not a lot of no significant cliques within the team. Whatever they do it all together, and it's fun to coach a team like that.
I've talked with John, with Tonjay or Xavier, and like, who are you, Cameron Hunter? Who'd you lean on when you first came here? Who are the veteran guys? Who are the guys that you kind of turned to when you came?
Oh, it's funny because I was kind of I had been in the league for 3 years.
Yes.
But last game I was able to have one of my former teammates come, Clayton Hansen, and he wore my number, actually. So if we would have been shooting for the number, we might still be shooting today. But no, Clayton Hansen was great. He had been around. He was a walk-on off, obviously, for Wisconsin, earned a scholarship. Zach Morley was a guy that was transferring in at the same time as me. So those guys, and then obviously Andreas and Mike Wilkinson. Me and Mike had a rapport growing up and playing AAU against each other. So really those five seniors, man. We had five. When you have an older, more experienced senior-led team, And we were senior coached. I mean, we were pushing each other. We weren't just calling each other out. We were calling each other up because we knew what we wanted to do as a team, and we had a great run. And I think that's what this team's kind of done. These older guys, Cam's been around for a long time. Max has been around for a long time. Steven, you know, he's had his ups and downs, but he talks. He's been more verbal this year than he ever has.
When you mentioned Clayton Hansen, it was good to talk to him a little bit after the game. There are moments of his, like in a comeback win against Richmond, the job he did on Julius Hodge, right, in the Sweet 16. It seemed like yesterday, like when I bring up those moments. I mean, you've been around a minute now. You've seen a few things, but we're talking about him right now, and those are the things that pop into my mind on the floor.
And he's even a harder worker off the court. I mean, he was a great academic. He's a great student here, and just a great friend. It's funny because this should be our 20-year reunion of that Elite Eight team. And I know we didn't make it to a Final Four, but we left it all out there, and hopefully the fans enjoyed it.
I was going to say, you gave North Carolina all it wanted, right? I mean, it was right there.
Single digits. It was right there, a couple possessions, but they had a really good team that year. Really good team.
Yeah, they won it all, obviously, that season. You know, this team, talking to these guys, Sharif, they, as good as they've been, I get the impression they think they can still get better. There's still more out there to do.
I don't think they think that. I think they know they can still get better. We haven't really had everybody clicking all at the same time offensively, and I thought today was one of our best defensive practices of the year. We got guys going to protect the rim now, and Nolan and Steve, and the guards are really communicating on handoffs and pin downs. If there's a guard-to-guard switch, I mean, the communication's only getting better. And again, like I said, they enjoy being around each other, and teams like that usually tend to make a little noise in the next month and a half.
You know, circle ended with how I started it with the dog days and all this. It's the teams that best handled this now, right, that sets up everything later this month and beyond.
As you're going through these dog days, does the energy in practice go up or does it go down? Does the communication go up or down? Are you kind of like tired of being around the same guys for 12 or 13 days without, you know, having some space to yourself? And these guys haven't shown that. They've been pretty good here throughout these 12, 13 days and throughout the entire season.
That's Badgers assistant coach Sharif Chambliss. We'll take a break. We'll hear from Brian Butch in just a couple of minutes as the Greg Gard Show continues on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Need reliable waste and recycling services? Choose LRS. Driven by service and dedicated to sustainability, we're your partner in efficient waste management. Need more? We also offer convenient dumpster rentals and clean portable restrooms for any event or project. Trust LRS for all your waste needs. Visit LRSRecycles.com to sign up for service. That's LRSRecycles.com.
Hey Badger fans, basketball season is here and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the courtside celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin basketball games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
The Kohl Center, Camp Randall, the Fieldhouse. This is where the magic happens, where the best players lead with passion, fight with power, and win with exceptional performance. And now it's time we add another house to our Badger community. Meet Madison's newest powerhouse player, UW Health East Park Medical Center, home of top doctors and advanced treatments, all under one roof. So no matter the opponent, we're the place to defeat it. UW Health, remarkable.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Wisconsin fans, it's Matt's Matt for Brewpub. Lots of matzo pizza. Badger games are intense, high energy, and an experience like no other. Games like that need a high quality, go all four quarters frozen pizza. And you'll find that in a Brewpub Lots of Matzo pizza. Loaded with the best meat and veggie toppings, then bombarded with over half a pound of award-winning Wisconsin mozzarella cheese. It's a top-tier pizza, proud to support a top-tier program. So the next time you're visiting your favorite local grocery store and you're in the frozen pizza section, look for the pizza loaded with cheese. A Brewpub Lots of Matzo pizza.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Continuing with the Great Guard Show, we thank Sharif Chambliss for joining us in the last segment. Now we turn our attention to my partner, Brian Butch, who was in Evanston on a Tuesday night for a thrilling game. Hats off to the Wildcats finding a way to beat USC 77-75. Butchie, we talked about it on Saturday in Evanston about, Northwestern is it's a tough-minded team, and it gave Wisconsin all it wanted for a half and then a little bit into the second half before the Badgers started to get things right. But it just shows that, the competitive nature of this league. USC's been played pretty well, and then here comes shorthanded Northwestern finding a way to win. Got to give those guys a lot of credit, don't you?
Well, they were up by 15, and all of a sudden USC had a little run and jump, and Northwestern fouled a couple of three-point shooters, and then we had a ball game. And then it was tied, and then it was Nick Martinelli time. And it was a fun game to call. You look at USC, they didn't have Desmond Claude, right, which is a big loss for them, especially when you look at, end-of-game situations. Both those teams were depleted. Now, you find a way still. And if you're USC, you needed to find a way to get a win. They're just coming off of beating Michigan State. And I think that's where you look at this Wisconsin team. Throughout the league, Matt, there's been teams that have had that hiccup where it's like, oh, shouldn't have lost that one. I can honestly say right now, Wisconsin doesn't have that hiccup. The losses they have, yeah, they've got four losses, but they're to Illinois, Michigan, Maryland, UCLA. There's not one that you look at. Now, there's things that within that game that you looked at said, if they just correct this, they win the game. But it's not one where you say, that's a game that we're going to really regret losing, or we just didn't bring the energy, or we just didn't find a way to a team that was in the lower part of the league. And I think that's what has really impressed me with this Wisconsin team more than anything, is usually there's a hiccup somewhere. They haven't had it. Now, there's still games to be played, and there's some still opportunities out there to have those. So you have to stay laser focused. But I think that's the thing that I'm most impressed with right now with this group is, yes, they have four losses, but they're all losses that could have gone either way. You felt like they were in every game. You thought that the mistakes that were made are all correctable mistakes, but their focus in everything that they've done is really good. I mean, they lose one home game there to Michigan, and it was really early on. I think Michigan's starting to kind of come back to the pack a little bit. You're seeing Michigan State come back to the pack after going on the West Coast trip and losing two there. So it's difficult, and it just is. And you got to stay focused. You got to stay dialed in on what you're doing. And I thought Tuesday night Wisconsin did that against Indiana. I had a chance to rewatch that game this morning or Wednesday morning. And to me, you can't ask for a better start. I mean, you talk about just being dialed in for a team in Indiana that, let's just be honest, is wounded. They don't know the identity. They're trying to figure it out. They've got great performances at Purdue where they've got a chance to win the game, and then they get out and then they start, poorly against Wisconsin. So they took care of what needed to be taken care of.
I was thinking about you because the first two threes Wisconsin made were by Stephen Crow and Nolan Winter.
Aren't probably feeling pretty good today. Feeling pretty good.
Yeah, Patrick gave me a break in that regard on Tuesday night. The other thing, too, we talked about this with Greg
you know, as the way they were shooting it to begin the game, it was lights out. But as you know, Indiana likes to get up and down when it can. And early in the game, there were a lot of possessions where they were getting late to the shot clock. So this has been a good trend for Wisconsin. The hiccup was UCLA. And by the way, UCLA is on a good roll right now.
They're rolling.
But they become one of the better teams in the Big Ten, at least right now, in terms of defensive efficiency. And I think that might surprise some people to hear that, but it's a fact.
Well, it is. I'll say this. I know the way that Wisconsin's playing right now is surprising a lot of people, from the people that I've talked to. And I think, and they keep asking me, I said, no, it doesn't surprise me. I said, there's some things that surprise me. But the defensive efficiency, that doesn't surprise me, because even though Wisconsin offensively has been playing really well, we've talked about why, whether it's the new rules, whether it's the emphasis on, hey, we want more threes, get rid of the all mid-range twos, and either you're going to get to the rim or you're going to shoot a three. Whether it's the new, not new, but the offense kind of that Kirk has helped instill with Coach Gard, all those things make offense part of it. But the one thing that will never change, and the core of what Greg Gard is still a defensive-minded coach. There's some things that are non-negotiables, and the defensive end is a non-negotiable. Now, there's some things you live with better players if they have weaknesses, and okay, we might not be able to do this with so-and-so, but we'll find a way as a group to come together and guard. And that's what they're doing right now. And to me, that's the most impressive thing, is that I always felt like they'd get better defensively. I didn't think that they'd be as bad as they were to start the year, because as well as I know Greg and that staff, in every film session, it's being brought up. Like, hey, well, this just isn't good enough. And we're doing some really good things here, but this, it's not good enough. And those guys in the locker room, you got to give them credit. Number one, credit to Greg and the staff for pointing it out and continuing to point it out. Number two, you got to give the kids a bunch of credit for saying, all right, that's not our standard. There's a lot of groups out there that say, okay, that's our standard. And then we're just going to be a bad defensive team. We're going to score a lot of points and we're going to be in a lot of games, but our standard isn't ideal as far as defensively, whatever. If it works, it works. That group wants to get better. That group wants to be coached, and that group wants to see how far and how many games they can play in a March. And with where they're trending, it's fun. Who knows how this is going to end? That's why I've loved March Madness as a kid. The longer that I'm in it in the media, I hate it. Because you're judged. Let's say you have one bad game. And, I mean, James Madison, it's a bad season last year. I mean, that's what people remember. They don't remember the journey that it is. And the journey is where you really get your best coaching. The job that they've done to continue to get guys to buy in on the defensive end, to play offensively, like it's really impressive. And I hear it a lot when I'm out and about calling different games, you know, and throughout the league. Like, people just come up to me just because they know the Wisconsin ties and say, man, that group of yours, they're playing great basketball. And I just say, kind of shake my head. And I said, yeah, I kind of know. I mean, I know they should have been picked 12th in the preseason rankings. That I knew, and I still it's comical why it happens every year, but it does.
Yeah, there two things are a given, and it's not just specifically to the University of Wisconsin. It could be the Milwaukee Brewers, whatever. Even after Tuesday night, the story on more of a regional or a national basis is what's up with Indiana.
Yeah.
And then eventually they'll get around to, wow, that great guard. Yeah, whatever they do. And that's just the way it is. It used to aggravate me. Now I just kind of smirk, roll my eyes. So I'll same stuff, different year. When in doubt, pick them low. Certain teams, when in doubt, pick them high. And that's just how it goes. I don't know if we'll ever fully get used to it, but I guess being old, I've just heard this a lot over the years, so I come to expect it from national media, or doesn't even have to be national for that matter. One other thing I wanted to mention to you, there's always this thing in sports, if it's a team or an individual, how do you handle adversity? And there's the flip side of that. How do you handle success? And I'm speaking specifically of Carter Gilmore, who's been a media darling the last few days. And to his credit, he's rolled with it. Got a chance to talk to him on Monday. He does a group interview. He does a podcast with Jesse Temple and Zach Heilprin. He's been making the rounds, but he's taking it in. The players are having fun with them. And you don't know how he's going to follow up a career day as he had against Northwestern. Well, he scored 10 points, went 3 of 3 from the three-point line, making defensive plays. He's obviously thrilled, but not satisfied. That's a pretty good combination to have, isn't it?
Well, no, for sure. And I think that's a lot of it has to come with this. And I know we've talked about this on the LA trip, kind of off the record. I'll bring it on the record because I did mention it after the Northwestern game. And I mean this. Like, I think how you handle success is a part of who you are as far as your DNA. And Kamari McGee and Carter Gilmore are Wisconsin kids. And their DNA is what this state is about, what this program is about, is you're going to work hard. You're going to just continue to keep your head down. Whether you have good days or bad days, you're just going to keep pushing forward. And I think, I mean, obviously that helps for life, that helps for this, but I also think it helps in this situation, whether it's a good day or a bad day, you know what you're going to get from Carter Gilmore the next day. You know what you're going to get for Kamari McGee the next day. And I think that's the thing that you build programs on. And we've talked to Greg now about this on air, but I think doubling down like they have on, you know, Wisconsin. Kids, whether it be, it gives you another advantage. There's other advantages you create coaching, but having guys that understand what the DNA of a program is, part of your team, it does give you an advantage. And that's what these guys are doing. I mean, that's what, and I mean, Carter, yes, but Kamara has been in the spotlight, you know, earlier in the season. And there's going to, it just feels like there's going to be another guy that steps up at some point. Because they all have each other's backs and they're all unselfish for the common goal. And I think that's the biggest thing that I look at with this group is being unselfish for the common goal. And that's what Wisconsin basketball has been about. I was a part of a lot of really good teams. My teammates are coaches now on this squad, right? And the messaging that we had in the locker room was, hey, I got you. You got me. We're unselfish. I don't need all the shots. What worked tonight? We're going to do it defensively. Okay, great. Like, Steve's like, okay, it's your night. Go block shots and rebound. Joe, hey, you got another 5 stitches in your chin. Now, part of it is because you got soft skin. That one I'll take to the grave. All right. As tough as Joe was, he's got soft skin. So, I mean, a man got more stitches than anybody that I've ever known, but he needs to work on some tougher skin. Like that, we knew what that was, whether it was Marcus Landry, whether, you know, Sharif, when he was, I mean, when me and Sharif, hey, come in and knock down a bunch of shots. I never played with Kirk, but, you know, saw him, and like everybody knew what their job was. And when their job or time was called, they took advantage of it. And it does not surprise me at all that this group of guys is following that same model because they're being told it every day. Yes, that's what those guys lived through, and that's what those guys had success. We were out in L.A., and me and Greg were talking, Steve's about talking about, we had 61 wins in 2 years. Like we did something. Like we were pretty good those last two of our years, and I think that's the thing where, like, that's the trickle-down, and it wasn't one individual. And yeah, we had Tuck, but there was a lot of guys. I mean, that was junior year. Senior year, we didn't – I mean, it was, hey, whatever night is your night, let's go. Let's do this thing. And you win a Big Ten championship and you win a tournament, you know. And so even though you lose, you know, Tuck junior year when we won 30, senior year we won 31 without him. Like that, like it just keeps going. So I
get the titles,
with titles. And I think that's the biggest thing that I see with how do you handle the success. You've got some great advice coming down every single day into your ear about this is how it's supposed to be. Don't act surprised that you had success, Carter. Like, we expect it from you. And it's happy. I'm extremely happy for Carter to be able to see him, you know, have a couple of these games. Because it's not easy to be in his role. Like, it's not that – that role is an extremely, extremely tough role. And he has done a fantastic job. I've said it on a broadcast many times. It seems like when Wisconsin needs a bucket, sometimes in that second half, Carter gives you one. Well, Reeves been giving you more than one, right? But this hasn't just come out of nowhere either. He's been solid all year long.
He has. He's Brian Butch. We'll take a break, take a look at the Big Ten schedule coming up this weekend as we continue in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A New Hampshire Senate bill just killed in committee would have moved the state's four presidential electoral votes to a winner-by-district system from a winner-take-all. Nebraska, the only state besides Maine which apportions its electoral votes by district, is trying to end it. The National Conference of State Legislatures defines a winner-take-all system as one where the winning candidate's party, no matter the margin of victory, gets all of the electoral votes. Currently in Nebraska, which has five electoral votes, and Maine, which has four, one electoral vote is awarded for each congressional district a candidate wins, and the candidate who wins the popular vote statewide gets the rest. New Hampshire is currently a winner-take-all state with two congressional districts. SB 11 would have adopted the Nebraska and Maine model, likely in anticipation of gerrymandering a guaranteed GOP congressional district. But February 5th, the Senate Election and Municipal Affairs Committee recommended that it be killed in an upcoming full Senate vote. The AP reports that Nebraska's GOP is irritated that candidates Obama, Biden, and Harris won an electoral vote from Greater Omaha's Congressional District 2. Another legislative attempt to end it appears doomed to fail by filibuster, so state Republicans are preparing a ballot measure instead, hoping the voters will change what the legislature could not. We have links to the local reporting and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Donald Trump is president again, and Democrats need to take a new approach to combat this presidency. Part of that is recognizing the realignment of how we arrived here. In last year's election, one thing Trump did successfully was turn out people who might not otherwise vote. In Wisconsin, he increased his vote share in all 72 counties en route to the largest popular vote total in state history. How did he do this? Well, as I see it, there are two factions of Republicans. One is the more traditional country club Republicans. The other is the newer group, what I'm calling the pro-wrestling Republicans. In my latest column, I wrote about how Donald Trump transformed the party by prioritizing the pro-wrestling Republicans, and why recognizing this new reality is critical to Democrats' ability to grab a steel chair of their own and fight back. Subscribe and read it now at the Recombobulation Area.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Call and make your reservations today.
Checking out the rest of the week in the Big Ten as you hear this for the first time on a Thursday night. Ohio State taking on the Maryland Terrapins in Columbus tomorrow. The standalone game as the Purdue Boilermakers on the home floor against USC. Saturday, pretty hectic day outside of the Badgers and the Iowa Hawkeyes. The way it should be, a lot of Big Ten basketball on a Saturday. Doesn't always happen. But you got Oregon at Michigan State. Indiana will be on the home floor against Michigan as the Hoosiers try to snap out of the slump that they've been in. UCLA at Pauley Pavilion will welcome in the Penn State Nittany Lions. The Minnesota Gophers, just when you think they're back up, they take a hit. When you think they're down for the count, they come back up. They're hosting Illinois. Illinois has been scuffling here in recent days. Washington will be at home against Northwestern. And then on Sunday, you've got Rutgers making the trip to College Park to take on Kevin Willard and the Terrapins. And Nebraska, fresh off a sweep in the Pacific Northwest, wins against Washington and Oregon. They are back in Lincoln on Sunday to take on the Ohio State Buckeyes. You got the Badgers and the Iowa Hawkeyes coming up Saturday at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Brian Butch will join me as we'll start our coverage at 11 o'clock. Tip time is set for high noon down in Iowa City as the Badgers go for the regular season sweep. They rained 21 threes on Iowa in early January en route to a 116-85 win. It was a career-high 32 points for John Blackwell. The Badgers did just about everything right, as they did on Tuesday against Indiana. They'll try to keep it going on Saturday afternoon at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Butchie and I will talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to the Greg Gard Show on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You've been listening to The Greg Gard Show, brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Hi, everyone. Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Democratic attorneys general in several states vowed to file a lawsuit to stop the White House task force known as DOGE from accessing federal payment systems.
To try to block DOGE's access, believing it's an extra legal or illegal attempt to potentially jeopardize the personal data of Americans.
That's CBS's Ed O'Keefe. A federal judge temporarily blocks the deadline for federal worker buyout proposals. Jackie Simon of the Federal Workers Union urges members to read the fine print.
It's a very, very bad deal.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. FBI agents who worked on the January 6th investigation into Donald Trump are fearing retribution. CBS's Scott McFarland spoke exclusively with an agent we are not identifying because he fears for his safety. Scott asked him what it was like to fill out the questionnaire about